Right now, it's time to check in on Orange County government. We are joined on the phone by the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, Penny Rich. OrangeCountyNC.gov is the website. Penny, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Hey, Aaron, not too bad. I just want to start by wishing everyone a happy Passover. And for all my Jewish friends, we say Pesach. And, you know, you just heard a little chachach in the end. When Jewish people talk, there's always that little vibration at the end. So happy Passover, y'all.
Happy Passover. So unfortunately, we've got to start with some kind of negative news. I got the word today about
sure.
The dozens of people at that one facility in Orange County that are affected with COVID-19. I got the word from Governor Cooper earlier today, and this really just underscores the importance of all of the steps that we're taking to try to limit the spread of this as much as possible, but also reminds us that there's always more that we can do.
There is. And so this is an interesting sort of case, because Pruitt Health is in Durham and Orange County, mm-hmm. right? It's right on the border. And so when cases are reported, specifically these two cases of the two deaths, that is reported to Durham County, because those two folks were residents of Durham. So there's a lot of questions of why Orange County is not reporting these two deaths. It's because the two deaths were Durham residents. It gets a little complicated with HIPAA and trying to pass information along. We're trying to be really cautious, and I know it makes people a little nervous when we're cautious, but I really do think that our health department in Orange County is trying to do the best they can to make sure that they protect people's privacy. And so last week we learned that there were about three cases in Pruitt. There were two residents and one of their staff members. And what happened since last week, and this was the end of last week, is that as a result of what happened, we had Orange County EMS and Duke go into Pruitt and do mass testing. And that took place on Monday afternoon. Last night, the results came back and there were 50 plus positive cases in the facility. And that includes residents and staff. And there are a couple of tests that are, pending. We're thinking it's probably going to go to 60 or more. Seven of the residents from Pruitt are hospitalized at Duke University. Two of those, as we know, have passed away. And those two are Durham residents. So not Orange. So you won't see that uptick in the state. You know, as everybody's following all this data, you won't see that uptick in the Orange County sort of death toll. But what the governor didn't release was that we have another health care facility called Signature, and I think a lot of folks know where that is on Franklin Street, right across from Whole Foods. And the same time as last week, we had three positive cases from that facility. Orange County EMS, UNC went in and tested that facility. And we're waiting for results on that. But the three cases that were tested there were removed, the people that were tested positive, and they're at UNC hospitals. And we should have those numbers and those results back tomorrow.
So this is really just a reminder of just all of the people who are having to live in facilities where a lot of people are kind of together in close quarters. What can local officials and health officials do to help mitigate the spread of places like that?
Yeah, Aaron, that's a great question. I mean, we talk about this. I think I told you we meet twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we talk about what we can do. And, you know, we're finding out that, our frontline people that have to go to work every day, because if you don't have, folks that are going to work in these facilities, who's going to go in there and take care of the long-term residents? I mean, it's a serious problem. But at the same time, we're risking lives by sending folks that may feel fine. They might be undetected as being positive, and they're going to work and spreading this. So, I think tomorrow in our morning meeting, we have a meeting, like I said, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're going to have to really start to strategize around this, because I don't know. We don't have enough folks in our health department to go in and help these facilities. I don't know if we can shift healthcare workers over from somewhere else, but we're going to have to do something because we can't let people that are now testing positive go back into the facility to work. It's a huge dilemma, and it's we all knew this day was going to come. We were just hoping that it was not going to be as extensive and just like hit us like this. So I can get back to you after tomorrow and let you know what our meeting is going to be, what kind of sort of solutions we're going to come up with.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, and before we move on to other things, I got to ask the same question about the Orange County Jail, because there's certainly concerns about both people who are incarcerated and the staffers who work at jails and prisons across the state. What do we know about the situation there?
Yeah, and so I think the sheriff has done a really good job of trying to mitigate the problem. There's two cells that are pressurized, and people that are being brought in are going into those cells first. He's cleansing the air constantly, and he is not accepting any federal prisoners. So I think we have about 85 or 90 folks over there now. We are, we're not a jail that holds people for minor infractions, because we have got great diversionary programs in Orange County. So the people that are in that jail need to be in that jail because they've committed serious crimes. And so I think the sheriff is doing the best he can. Right now you cannot go into an Orange County facility without getting your temperature taken. So that applies to every facility. And, if your temperature is high, or if you have some symptoms of not feeling well, you're not allowed to enter those facilities. But this is a weird virus, right, Aaron? We know that there are people that are asymptomatic. They feel perfectly fine. And that is going to be the challenge.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, again, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government, including meetings of the Board of Commissioners. There was one online, of course, last night. Couple of items on the agenda: the capital improvements proposal for the next 5 years from County Manager Bonnie Hammersley, and a discussion of the use of the climate action tax specifically to deal with schools and solar power there. So what was the outcome of the meeting?
Yeah, so let's start with the CIP. We did a 30,000 foot sort of like, here's what we got going, here's what we're going to do. No new projects, anything that has started. Of course, there's money that has been dedicated to that. We will follow up on that, but a whole lot of things are going to be put on hold. And as you know, in government, we lag a little bit behind everyone. We're about 3 months behind, so this is not going to hit us for another 3 or 4 months, whereas it hits private businesses now. So we're anticipating that. The manager asked us to please be flexible because we might need to change things as this goes. It's going to be an interesting budget season. I mean, I've been doing this for 16 years, and I've never done it through a pandemic. I don't think any of us have. So it will be interesting, and we're going to have to look for some good direction from our manager and our staff. So, yeah, the 30-foot flyover, we all have our books now that have all the CIP projects in them. And we'll have an opportunity to, we've got lots of time. We can just kind of look at that book over and over again now. Yeah, unfortunately. So that was the first thing. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the solar project.
Yeah.
And, it's an interesting concept, because this tax, this quarter cent tax, which is a climate mitigation tax, was specifically designated for climate mitigation. It wasn't designated for schools. So the conversation went into schools, but that's not what this tax was designated for. What the Commission for the Environment came up with is saying, okay, we know that Duke has a program out there, Solar for Schools. If we put some money into this program, one in each school system, we can leverage some money from Duke, some grants from Duke. So that was why that recommendation, excuse me, that was why that recommendation came forward. I'm sorry, Garen. Okay, I took a drink. I'm like talking and I'm cooking. It's Passover. You taste everything.
Right,
right. Cook, it's like in my throat. So anyway, I think the conversation went a little bit off the rails because this wasn't that we were giving money to the schools for them to decide what they should spend it on. That is not what the climate mitigation tax was for. The climate mitigation tax was to recommend, here's what we would like to do. If you don't want to do it, which is perfectly fine, if the schools don't want to do it, just tell us you don't want to do it, and it's fine. We'll move on to the other projects that have been scored and have been identified by the Commission for the Environment. And the scoring process was created by the Commission for the Environment and was voted in by the county commissioners. And two things that play real importance in scoring, one was social justice and one was racial equity. And the solar projects came forward because not only would they help the schools save utility costs, but it was a great opportunity for students to learn about solar power and alternative ways of heating and chilling schools. And so that was really the crux of what this project was about. It went off the rails, and you know, the conversation just went, as far as I'm concerned, the conversation went in the wrong direction, because there's a big difference between climate mitigation and making sure that schools are efficient, and making sure that as we do repairs to schools, that they are becoming more carbon friendly. That's not what we were looking for. We know we have some real needs in the schools, but this was really to move forward with a climate program.
Speaking again with County Commissioner Penny Rich, more from that meeting again on the county's website, orangecountync.gov. Other things going on in Orange County government that people ought to know about?
Yeah, something that I thought was unfortunate, but we had to move forward with. We created a program, a loan program, sort of like a HUD program to help folks get into, lower income folks get into some housing. And we had to stop that so we could take that money. There's about $100,000 to help people that are in danger of losing their apartments and homes now. And so that was that conversation was a hard conversation because the program is a really well thought out, good program. We just haven't had the ability, well, not the ability, but the opportunity to, dig in and start using it. And so that money was there, and we had to reappropriate that money to help folks that are in need right now. And, that's what we're looking at overall right now in county government, is how can we help folks in need of housing? How can we help folks that need food, medical supplies? And then, of course, our businesses, our small businesses. So, the whole focus has shifted on what we are trying to do as far as helping people in Orange County.
Mm-hmm. And kind of with that in mind, today, right, Orange County put the word out that they've got now a couple of sites at Hillsborough Town Hall and Carrboro Town Hall where they're collecting non-perishable food items, hand sanitizer, baby items, items for pets. And that, again, just sort of underscores how important the need is right now.
Yeah. And you could drop off. I mean, thanks for mentioning that, Aaron. You could drop off whatever's on that list, but there are things that are on that list that we absolutely do not need. And I know that everybody has a good heart and they're making these homemade masks and they're dropping them off for, our EMS and our sheriff's office to use. They cannot use them. The PPE, personal protection equipment, has to be certified for our frontline to use. And even though that people are, oh my God, this is so much coming from the hearts, Aaron, people are just dropping them off left and right to all kinds of places. We can't use them. So share them with your friends, share them with your relatives. I mean, if someone's going to go into the grocery store, they could put one of your masks on. I have one from a friend, which I absolutely adore. And I just think that, again, it's coming from the heart, but we can't use them as far as, EMS and the sheriff's office. We also can't take clothes and things like that right now. And our giving shed, someone asked about our giving shed at the waste and recycling center. That is closed down. You cannot go to the giving shed and go and look for items. It is just closed down. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to waste and recycling, you're going there to just throw things away. Donations, please follow the list. We are so appreciative of people that are dropping things off. We're doing okay as far as food donations. I don't know how long that's going to last. I'll certainly get on the line with y'all when we need some more help. But right now we're doing okay. Just got a report from the schools. They're still delivering meals. Meals on Wheels is delivering. We still have some food in the food banks. Our farmers are doing an amazing job bringing their fresh picked vegetables, and oh my God, they're just doing an amazing job. So as a community, I think we're really pulling it together, and I'm really proud.
Speaking with Penny Rich, and we got to wrap up, but before we do, just a really quick plug, because tomorrow at 5 o'clock you're going to be in a town hall with U.S. Representative David Price, right?
Yes, that's right. So Congressman Price has joined the biweekly. The mayors and I meet twice a week, but every other week he's going to come in and start joining our conversations. He joined last week, and it's an opportunity for him to, you know, really feel like his boots are on the ground and just know what's going on in individual neighborhoods. Jen Weaver from Hillsboro, Pam Heminger from Chapel Hill, Mayor Lavelle from Carrboro, as you know, your mayor conversations with the mayors. We were all talking with Congressman Price, and then he wanted to do an Orange County, specific Orange County town hall. So I am joining him with Quintana Stewart, who is the director, health department director. And we're going to talk a little bit about this, and I think we're probably going to dive into some of these long-term facilities and what else can we do. So I know a lot of the questions at that town hall are going to come up about that. Congressman Price also wants to talk about the three bills that have passed already to get funding into people's hands, not only unemployment. So I think it's going to be a good town hall. I look forward to questions, and that's from 5 to 6. You do have to register. I think I posted that online, and I think Congressman Price is also posted that in a number of places for people to register.
Yeah, that sounds good. Again, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government in general. County Commissioner Penny Rich, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron. Awesome, and be well.